All right, now let's do a summary, because the third John is a pretty simple subject. It's kind of intense in a sense that it's like, wow, that's really in there. And because you remember, we're dealing with the early church, the first century church, but there were already problems, right? So let's go to 1 John. In 1 John, just doing a summary, how would we summarize 1 John? What is the content of 1 John? Love, okay? Love toward what?
One another,
okay? And also, what else about love? How do we show it? You just said, by obeying God's commands and by loving one another. Okay, then we go to John chapter 2, and there's some issues in the church. We know what that big issue is. It starts with the A. There you go. We have the spirit of Antichrist. And what is the spirit of Antichrist? People that what? Deny God. Yes, right. Deny him as God. Deny him as the Messiah. There are people still waiting for the Messiah to come. They do not believe that Yahushua, the Son of God, okay, the Most High, Elohim, he's part of Elohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1, right? We learned that in Genesis, in the beginning, God, when it says, you see that word God in the Bible? The Hebrew word for that is Elohim. Elohim is plural. Guess what Elohim means? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You got it. They were all there in the beginning. There was nothing that was made that wasn't made, that was made, that is, that the Son himself was not there. John 1:1. In the beginning, that's what they're talking about. Genesis chapter 1, when it talks about in the beginning. So you go to John, and John 1:1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you read further on down that's the Word that came down on the earth in the flesh. So the only Godhead that came in the flesh was the Son, right? So those are the biggest things that we learn. So we know we're supposed to love one another. We know how we show that we are his disciples. By this you shall know that these are my disciples, by the love they have for one another. That's right. Now, God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then the great king himself, the wise one, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he said, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. What was he talking about? He was talking about everything on this earth. All the pleasures of the earth. All the good tasting food. All the nice wine. All the beautiful women, right? All the precious gold, the precious silver. All the gilding the flesh, the body, the flesh, all of its desires. It's vanity. Why? Because all that's going to go away with. So it says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Now I want you to hear this. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Why am I here? Oh God, I just don't know why I'm here. You know why you're here. To fear God and keep his commandments. That's why we're here. And so we summarize John 1. We summarize John 2. And our 2 John, 1 John, 2 John. Now we're going to go to 3. 3 John, we have a little issue going on. And let me tell you, when it comes to the names, don't worry if you're reading it. Do as best you can. I was going to try to look it up and see, but let's just do a little. Somebody get to 3 John. I need somebody to read John chapter 4, not 1 John, but just John, regular John, St. John. St. John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. You going to read that one? Okay.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Okay, I want you to remember that. Here it is. God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Can we name a group of people that were in this world preaching the truth by the Spirit? The apostles. Jesus, yeah, definitely. Jesus set the tone, and then the apostles went through to teach the church. Now, I want you to remember this. John is an apostle. So when we start getting into this, you're going to understand that the Spirit and the truth, remember, the apostles had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay, upon them. So here it is. This is an apostle. And we're going to see how an apostle is being treated at one of the congregations. Let's go ahead and read, I'm in Jude here. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 4.
We're third
John. Yeah, we're 3 John. And we'll look at verses 1 through 4. I may have to stop you somewhere. So give me a hand of who's going to read it, and I'll come by you with the mic.
3 and 4?
Yeah. You're going to do 1? Yeah, 1 through 4.
The elders unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth.
Okay. Now, here is one character, Gaius, okay? John is saying, I love you in the truth. Why do you think that John, the Apostle John, would single this guy out and say, man, I love you in the truth? What do you think was going on with Gaius?
Because he knew the guy was a good guy.
Gaius was a good guy.
Yeah, you know, he was doing what was right.
He was doing what was right in the eyes of God.
Yeah, okay, doing what was right in the eyes of God.
Proclaiming the truth by sharing with the true word of the Holy Gospel.
Very important. Proclaiming the truth by the word of God. Only, right? Not adding, not subtracting. Just by the word of God. Proclaiming the truth. Following God's command. He was a good guy, right?
Good guy.
Huh?
Elder. Okay, elder. So what is the elder supposed to be?
Elder is one who is held in high esteem. He was he was given the right hand to lead the church and to be an example to others.
Okay. So let's say if Gaius is leading the church and he's responsible for leading the church, and the Apostle John comes up to him and greets him in that form, saying, well beloved, you are beloved. That means what you're doing, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased at what you're doing. Did a good job. Here's a man doing a good job. And let's go to verse 2.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, and be in health, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Okay, here you have a man that is doing the will of God, has a good soul, I mean spiritually. But then what does John pray for? That health, right?
That's right. So
he's prospering not only spiritually, but in good health. I'm going to use Kelly as an example. He's done some mighty things, still is, right? Doing mighty things. We pray for his health, don't we? So he continues to be able to do some mighty things for the kingdom. All of us, because we're called, each and every one, same thing. Not just the preachers, but all of us, right? Every single member of the body of Christ is important. And so, that's right.
You
know, every single.
For years, since I've been coming here, for years, every time Kelly helps, tried to fade away, God always put him back in good health.
That's right. the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, right?
You know, it says right here in verse 2, enjoy good health. That's talking about our physical bodies.
That's right.
But where it says your soul is getting along well, that's our spiritual health.
So in other words, you can have really good spiritual health, but in order for you to continue, you got to have some good physical health too, right? So it's okay that we pray for each other's physical health.
Amen.
Because we can't do our spiritual work if the physical body fails, right?
That's right.
Okay. So now we have this situation. We see this picture. I'm just putting this picture in your mind. You have There's too many ways. Gaius is a good guy. He's the elder of the congregation. He's doing a fantastic, job with this congregation. John is telling them what a good job he's doing. You're my beloved. I'm praying for you, both physically and spiritually. And then in verse 3.
Well, I rejoice greatly when the veterans came and testified about the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth.
Okay. One thing I always learned from Kelly, he taught me, he says, my mother did the same. You never know who's watching, right?
Right.
Never know who's watching.
Right.
And the one thing he said when it came to choosing deacons and elders of the church, not only do you have to be in good standing with people in the church, the people outside the church have to testify what a good person you are, because you have to live your life not just in the congregation with brothers and sisters, but outside that congregation, you have to have a good name. So what John is saying, I've heard testimonies, your own brothers and sisters telling me what a good job you're doing here at this congregation. So everything is positive right now, right? At this point, we see all things positive, good stuff going on.
I'd like to make a comment about that.
Okay.
Verse 3, we have to realize that the one who's always watching upon his children is our Heavenly Father. And listen, think about it as him watching over us.
Yeah.
He gives me great joy. It's also talking about our Heavenly Father. When some believers came and testified about your faithfulness of the truth, and our faithfulness is discussing the Word, helping us each other to understand what God puts on each other's hearts. And we gain many understandings from one particular scripture.
Yes. True. Did you have a comment?
Yeah. What I was going to say is that if you call yourself a good guy, you know what I'm saying? That's something to think about. But if everyone you run across is calling you a good guy, you ain't got to think no more.
There you go. Bible says you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. You don't have to sit there and say, hey, I'm an apple tree. Hey, guys, I'm an apple tree. I'm an apple tree. You don't have to tell me you're an apple tree. I know you're an apple tree when I look at the fruit that you bear, right?
Right.
Some people show they're holier than thou with their mouth. They're too busy telling you how holy they are. You don't have to say nothing. Just live your life, right? So that's what this man did. He lived his life. And people saw him and they talked about it. And the Apostle John heard about it. Okay? They were proclaiming him. Now, you made a comment, Jeff, that it's like God doing the same thing, being happy and saying, hey, look, my servants, you know, it makes him happy. How do we know that's true? Look at Job, the story of Job. What did God say to Satan? Hey, have you seen my servant Job? How he obeys me and keeps my commandments, right? Yeah, it makes God feel good to see his children obeying his commandments. If you are a father of children and you see them obeying your commandments, does that not make you happy, right?
Amen.
Makes me happy as a father.
The Bible also says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father.
Very good. Now, I want you to hear that part that was mentioned, the most important part. Let your light so shine that people can see your goodness and then glorify the Father. That's what Jesus did. He came and did great things. And when they, you did all, not my words, but the Father's. He always put it back to the Father. So everything that we do is to glorify our Father. And that's what them is. Gaius.
When I go places, I meet people, and when they ask me what church I attend, and I tell them Main Street Church of Christ, they say they good things they say about Kelly. And they always say, and that big guy that teach Bible study, talking about you. You know what I'm saying? But they always have something good to say.
And that's what we want, right? To glorify what? Ourselves?
No.
The Father.
That's right.
Glorifies the Father. That's what does it say? By this you shall know that these are my disciples, by the love they have toward one another. And if we're doing good works, people are going to want to be a part of it. And if they become a part of the body of Christ, then that God is magnified, you know? God is glorified when people come to Him, give their souls to Him. That's a great thing. Okay, now, first one.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
And again, we can apply that to God as well. No greater joy than the Father has to know that we are walking in truth. Now, somebody, let's read 5 through 8. Who wants to read verses 5 through 8? Okay. Verses 5 through 8.
Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you.
Okay, we'll stop right there. So he's faithful to those who he don't even know, that are strangers. They're still brethren and sisters, right? Remember, somebody comes over here from another country, if they've been baptized, they've heard the gospel and they're baptized, they're our brother and our sister.
Right.
And we treat them just like we would treat somebody in our local congregation, because we're all connected. Doesn't matter if you're in this congregation, that congregation. I go everywhere. If it says Church of Christ out there, I'm going to go in smiling and meeting my new brothers and sisters, you know? I feel at home because I should feel that way, right? Yeah, so he's...
And he's telling them that they going around baptizing
and doing all these good things, helping people, that they doing good. That's what he's telling them.
They're
following God's work, right? Word.
Some people, when I say that, a lot of people think they selfish. Well, do you ever talk about, oh no, I just stay away from people and I just try to just do God's work and go to church and read my Bible. They think all it is to this is just going to church and reading the Bible.
That's not all.
No, we got to work. You know, there's things that we have to do as a church.
Right.
Let's go ahead and do 7.
And do 6.
Oh, 6, sorry.
They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way that is a manner that honors God.
Okay, so in 6 of the King James, it's a little different. It says, which have borne witness of the charity. Again, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about the spiritual gifts. It talks about when the speaking in tongue and all those gifts were going to be done away with. That was one that was going to stay, that was the most powerful of all spiritual gifts. Anybody remember what that one is? Starts with a C and it's in this chapter. It's printed in verse 6. Charity.
Love.
And there you go. Because the definition of charity is love.
Yeah.
And God is love.
Love.
Right? And so we're talking about they bore witness of the love for the church, all this love that's going on. And it says, of whom, if thou bring forth on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So you send me on, you know, with love. They took care of those who came to them, those who were coming from other congregations and traveling. They took care of them.
It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans.
So they did it themselves, right? In the book of Acts, we find that people that were well off, let's say you had the rich people, middle class, they would bring what they needed, food, clothing, and then they would give it to those who were disenfranchised, right? Those who were poor. And so that's, we took care of one another. And so it says here in verse 7 that they did this in the name, for his name's sake, right? Taking nothing from the Gentiles. They didn't ask for the heathen's help. They did it themselves.
Yes, Book of Corinthians talks about us being epistles of God. You know, not written on tablets of stone, but on the fleshly parts of our hearts. And the thing of it is, our lives are open letters, are open books. You know, people come to church and they see us, and you know, and we say we're Christians and we're not walking in that our Christianhood. You know, people observe that. You know, especially children. The children are very observant. And so we have to understand that we are an open book and we have to walk in that.
Okay, very powerful point. Thank you so much. Walking, talking, breathing epistles. What does that mean? We have the written word, right? What makes the written word come alive? Us. Okay? Us doing it. Because I can tell you, my job, I don't think I've ever grabbed a Bible and sat down and opened it and talked anybody, anything. But they come to me and ask for prayer. Why? They watched me. That was it. They watched me. If I had tried to open a Bible, they'd ran the other way. Okay? Because we have people from different denominations. We have people from different belief systems. It's a heavily Islamic, you know, environment at the job. And even they are good friends. But it's all about their living epistle. What does that mean? How we walk. What we do. Not just the word itself. The word is powerful. But is the word powerful if we don't obey the word? Yeah. We have to do it. It's an action verb. It's just like salvation. Believe, you know, just believe in God and you're saved. Yeah, that's all I got to do is believe. Action verb. It means if you actually believe, there's things that you're going to do. Exactly. You're going to do some stuff. A lot of stuff. Okay. Very good point.
We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth.
Okay, we show hospitality. They love when they came here to Main Street. They saw the stuff that we did. What do you think they went back to their congregation and told them what was going on? Got on fire. Then all of a sudden they started going to another congregation and then it just spread like wildfire. That happened here. We had 2 years where we had the doors open every single night at 7 o'clock. People came and they was like, who are these people? Is that like a cult? They go, I gotta come over here and see this, who these weird people are in Main Street that are going having service every single night. And did it for 2 years straight. And let me tell you, some wonderful things happened here. I'm glad to be a part of that. Now we're gonna look at something different in verses 9, 10, and 11. And I guess 12. So somebody, who's going to read 9 through 12? 9 through 12. Okay, let me come that way. 9 through 12. And again, if you struggle on the name, that's fine. Because I'm going to pronounce it as best I can. That's all right.
I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes.
Diophrates or something like that.
Okay. Who love to have the preeminence among them receiveth us not.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I had written it down. I can't remember. I wrote it down. Diophrates, or something like that. Who loveth to have preeminence. Okay, who's supposed to have preeminence in the church? That's right, God. Christ is supposed to have preeminence in the church. But this man wanted to be first front in the church among them. And he did what? Received us not. Now here it is, the apostle of God, John, is trying to come to this congregation, and here's a man stepping out there not wanting him.
God's
Scoot over you there. Okay, so he is wanting the preeminence. He wants to be number one. I see some jealousy here. So here's the Apostle John, that you know a lot of people know who John is, right? And the Apostle John. They know what this man is endowed with, the Holy Spirit. And he wants to come and visit this congregation. And here's a brother that stands up against him, doesn't want him to come. Listen to me. You don't need this guy, John, right? So what kind of spirit is that? Think about that, the spirit. Is that a spirit of love? Is that a spirit of oneness? Where one guy wants to be number one in the congregation and he's afraid that if this guy, John, comes, maybe it'll take the spotlight off of him. Can you think of a group of people that felt that way about Jesus Christ? Yeah, the pagans, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, right? They were the lawgivers. Here this guy comes with a different law, a different testament, right? Proclaiming something new. They didn't like it. And so they sought to get rid of him and kill him.
Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, panting against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church.
Now this man is so ugly that not only is he preventing them from coming, but the ones that are there, he's casting them out of the church if they disagree with him. I mean, this is contention, right? And so God wants us to all come as one. And here we have one person that wants to be the leader of this congregation, doesn't want John, the apostle, to come, and prevents him from coming, and is kicking out, casting out those of the church, other people in the church he doesn't agree with. Verse 11.
Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
And then there's the theme back again, love, right? Is this Diocrates showing love? Is he showing love? Not at all. He's not showing love at all. He's disrespecting the elder, okay? John, the apostle, he's disrespecting him and then kicking out people that don't agree with him. You know, kicking them out. And so this is something that is considered evil. Now, somebody get Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. I'm going to read that real quick. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Raise your hand. I'm going to come to you before we finish the rest of it. Who's my Proverbs reader? Okay. We're in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19.
This is the NIV version. There are 16 the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, rather. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community.
Go ahead, please, man. I'm going to get you to read that and read it slow. Okay, I want you to see our brother here, Diocrates, okay, that's preventing John, the apostle, from even coming to their congregation, that's stirring up wrath, that's haughty. That means that he wants to have preeminence. He's the king of the congregation. He doesn't want any outsiders coming over here. Okay, and so he's preventing people. Anybody who disagrees with him, he kicks them out of the church. This guy has some issues. But what does God hate? Read it again and read it slowly. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19.
Sure. There are 6 things the Lord hates.
Things the Lord hates.
7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes.
A haughty eyes. Pride.
A lying tongue.
Yes, I.
Hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes.
You're trying to tell me that wasn't wicked, his heart wasn't wicked, to try to prevent the Apostle John from coming to that congregation and then kicking out people that disagreed with him? Wicked.
Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community.
You think that wasn't stirring up conflict in the church? Dividing people in the church? Okay? Horrible. This guy was horrible. This was a bad dude right here in the church. First century church. All right. Were we at 10?
12, I think.
And wherefore I come, I will remember his deeds, which he did. Prating against us, which is where we're at, that not that which is evil.
You're right, 12.
Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true.
Okay, so now you have a person with a good record, okay? Quite the opposite of Diotrephes, right? Or however you pronounce that name. And then I'll just go ahead and read 13, and we'll, 13 and 14, we'll conclude. I had many things, it says, many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write it to thee. There's some things going on here. I'd love to write a letter, but I think, as this is John speaking, right, the Apostle John, I think it's better if I come face to face and we talk about these things. And then in 14 it says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, you notice that the Apostle John focused on those who were doing good. And we had a bad cat in the church also that wanted to be the leader, that was doing all these bad things, stirring up strife in the church, trying to prevent the Apostle John from even coming to that congregation and kicking out people that disagreed with him. So you had this bad guy in here, but notice that John doesn't say anything bad about him, doesn't go after him. He basically continues to praise the good work of those who are doing good in the church, right? So he focused on the good, and that's what we should do. You remember when the disciples saw people that were not of them preaching and teaching? They knew they had false preachers. They asked Christ, do you want us to go after, you know, get rid of these false? Oh, no, he said, no. You'll throw out the wheat with the tares. What does that mean? Yes, we have false Christians, but let Christ, right, when he comes, he'll separate the wheat from the tares. We shouldn't try to do that. So John didn't try to do that, didn't throw the bad guy out. He just sit there and continue to focus on that which was good. All right, any comments or questions? Any comments or questions? Okay, I think we had a good class this morning, and may God add a blessing to the... You got a question, Brother Fred? Okay. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Okay.
I like it out here.
Thank you, thank you. Get it myself. All right. Well, if we don't have any questions or comments, then we'll go ahead and conclude our class. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word.